Kia ora. It's good to be back. Alrighty. Well, got real quiet all of a sudden, didn't it? Hey? You're making me nervous. Scott and Jabron have quickly come some of my favourite people. They're pretty awesome, eh? And I love what they are doing here, the culture they're creating here. And so it's a pleasure to be able to come and sow into it. We have a very busy family life, so we don't go places that we don't believe in. We don't sow into soil that is a waste of time. And so this place is a place we believe in. That's why we're here. And we see the fruit of the few seeds that we've had the privilege of sowing already coming through. So it's awesome to just journey with you guys and get to witness the growth. It's awesome. It was special this morning. I always have an internal kind of thing going on where I'm just measuring the growth of places that we come back to. And I love just seeing how places are tracking and to see the growth. It's been quite exponential since I was last here in the atmosphere, which is really cool. Well, I thought so anyway. Yeah, cool. I brought my own encouragement this morning, so feel free to just sit yours to the side if you want. I've got a couple of, as Scott mentioned, a couple of books over here. This one, many of you from here from this home will know, this is The Art of Healing. This is our story with our son, Elijah, who's 8 years old and has a thing called CHARGE syndrome, was born with a whole lot of health needs. We were told he wasn't going to live, all that kind of jazz. He's doing well. We took him to Rainbow's Inn yesterday and took him down the log flume and the gold rush, and he was loving it. So anyway, this is our story of encountering God as healer through that. His heart is always to heal. Healing is not something he just does. It's who he is. Amen? He can't deny himself. He's healer. So this book is a bit of our story in that, and it also activates people into healing. So if you want to heal the sick, good book to get. that's $20. This one here is, who's heard of Western Carrier? Part of our national inheritance that we have in the saints. And he was a phenomenal guy, passed away a few years ago. I got the chance of singing at his funeral, and my dad spoke at his funeral, and we came away and thought, man, this guy has a story that we need to make sure gets told. And he used to do these little miracle journal volume type things, and where people would send in their testimonies to him, and he would just get thousands upon thousands of testimonies from here in New Zealand, two from Australia, but the rest from here in New Zealand. They always try and get in on it, eh? But Pavlova, I know. God, mate. And so he had 13 volumes, which he had created, these little volumes of testimony journals telling the testimonies, firsthand eyewitness accounts of Jesus healing all kinds of different things. So we took those 13 volumes. He had many, many more in his office, just stacks of testimonies that he was working on and putting into these. But we took the 13 he had done and re-edited them and put them into categories according to the condition that Jesus healed in the person. So there's a whole chapter on him healing cancer from right here in New Zealand. There's a whole chapter on him healing children, birth defects, accidents and crashes, necks and backs, just anything and everything you can think of. There's a chapter in there, one of my favourites, conditions that we couldn't find a category for. So we just put unusual conditions because they're just so random. So we chucked a whole chapter of those together. And so this whole book, it's got like a few pages of his story, a few pages of some other people talking about him as well. The rest is just Jesus at work, like that thick from our nation. So it's our national treasure. It's my goal to see one of these on every coffee table in New Zealand, because you can literally flick to any page, read a paragraph and go, whoa, shubba. So It's a good book. Very good book. We've heard testimonies of doctors have bought it and put it in their waiting room in the medical practice. And I thought, that's cool, because doctors are really busy, so it'd be cool if we could help out by getting them healed before they saw them. So that's a good book. We've got some CDs over there too. We've got some from our friends at Jesus Culture. We had some stock there that we brought along. These ones, we sang Hallelujah this morning. It's on here. So these are $5. The other CD's $10. The books are 20 and 40. Blah, blah, blah. All right. Here we go. So, the way I kind of see in the Spirit is I will often see, everybody has an angel assigned to them, right? Some people have more than one, and because they need more help, you know? Like Scott's got several. and so, they're not more blessed, they're just more irresponsible. But... and so anyway, the way I see in the Spirit is I will often see a person's angel with different things going on, and that tells me what's going on in the person's life. And so that's just the way I often minister, and I have never publicly talked about that. Until recently, the Lord started speaking, saying, I want you to begin to share how you see. Because he told me originally, don't share how you see, just share the word. So I'd give someone a word out of what I was seeing, and they'd have no idea how I got the word. But you know what I mean? But now he's actually beginning to say, hey, I want you to actually share how you see. Because that's what he's doing in the body. He's opening up eyes. He's opening up different ways of seeing. And so this is just an impartation. Me sharing this is actually an impartation, and people's eyes are going to be opened to seeing in different ways. Whether you see the same or in a unique way of your own is irrelevant, but your eyes are going to be open, okay? The eyes of your heart open. And so I saw a few things, which is really cool. This Māori sister who came and introduced yourself. Sorry, I didn't get your name. Maxine. And I just saw your angel waking up. It was beginning to wake up, and not from sleep, but into a new day. Like there's this freshness and this waking up, like, oh, there's a new assignment to be achieved. And so I just feel like the Lord is commissioning you into a new assignment, and there's an awakening anointing on you at the moment. There's an awakening anointing on you at the moment, which I really like. We need more awakening in the nation and in whānau around us, don't we? So, Lord, I just bless Maxine in the name of Jesus with that spirit of awakening. Thank you, Father. Bless your name. What's your name again, bro? Gary, that's right. You came to us with us to Fiji, eh? I remember that. I saw your angel had eye patches over it, and the eye patches were coming off. And I heard the Lord say, you've seen into the darkness, but now you're going to see into the light. And the scripture that hit me was Hebrews 5:14. The mature whom through practice have learned to discern between good and evil. So spiritual food is for the mature. And there's this whole thing of maturity, being able to see... Seeing into the light is a state of maturity, where as kids often we can see in the darkness, but then we grow up a little bit and we can see into the light. And I just feel like there's a maturing going on in you where you've seen into the darkness, but now you're going to begin to see. You've got to see as gifting on your life, and you're going to begin to see into the light. Seeing into the light is so much more powerful, because when you see into the light, you can call people into the light. But you can only take people where you're going. So when we see into the darkness, we often take people there into fear. But now we see into the light, we can take people into freedom. And so you're going to begin to see light on people and see their call on people, see the different callings on people, and see the different nature that he's assigned to people. And you're going to be able to call that out. Does that make sense? So you're going to see into the light. So I bless you with that. there's a few others. As they come to me, I might just work them in through the speaking. Awesome. Well, today I want to talk about our sonship in the Father and the responsibility we have here on planet Earth as sons and daughters. How many know we are sons of God? If woman, you are a son of God also. Men, you are the bride of Christ also, okay? So there's this, the reason he refers to us as sons in Scripture is because sons are the ones with the inheritance in that culture. So the whole thing is you have an inheritance in your Father. And our inheritance, how many know Jesus died? He could have come and died for our sin, and that would have been enough. Yeah? This is yes, this is no. So he died for our sin, and that would have been enough. But he rose as well. He rose, why? So that not only will we just be freed from sin, we would have an inheritance to enjoy. He died so that we'd be forgiven and free, but he rose so that we would have an inheritance. Does that make sense? So we have an inheritance as sons. And I want to talk about that. Remember the story of Jesus when he's on the mountain and he gets transfigured. And it says that his clothes became white, like lightning. The word there means that they became, when he's transfigured, it means to be shining like white lightning, that kind of radiance going on. And also remember in Romans 12, 2, and it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you guys remember that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed is the same word that we see when Jesus is standing on the mountain and he becomes transfigured. Be transformed. There's an invitation there from the Father saying, hey, be transformed. Be shining like radiant white lightning. How? By changing the way you think. Understand your sonship and watch yourself shine. Okay? That's what you look like. That picture of Jesus on the mountain was given to us so that we would understand what we look like in the Spirit. You are shining white lightning radiant. It's phenomenal, okay? Many people experience when they hang around someone who is either possessed by a demonic spirit or there's just a demonic spirit somewhere around, they experience a sensation of fear. And what people need to understand is they feel fear not because that thing can hurt them, but they are actually picking up how that thing feels about being in their presence. You are picking up the fear of that demonic being because he is in your presence. And it sees the shining white lightning spirit being standing before it that looks so much like Jesus that he can't tell the difference. And he's freaking out because he knows, I'm screwed. I better shut my mouth or I'm screwed. That's the reality of who you are right here, right now. As you sit in your seat, you are shining white lightning bright. It's good, eh? Sure. Okay. Well, Father, we just declare your peace over that storm out there. Whatever's going on there with our bro, we just declare freedom and peace in the name of Jesus. Just put your hands towards him. God, we as your people declare freedom and peace in Jesus' name. Freedom and peace. Thank you, Father. Those spirits trying to afflict and affect and torment him, we just muzzle them and bind them. And we say, shut up and be gone. Thank you, Father. We release your peace. release our freedom on him. Thank you, Jesus. As your sons, we invite him home. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. So, we have this reality of our sonship in him. And it's my heart that we walk out of this room today with an understanding of the nature of our Father, because he made us in his image and his likeness. And it's his heart for us to operate in the same way. Why? Not because he wants everyone to look like him, but because he knows the joy of the participation in his story. He knows the joy that you experience of participating in his story. That's why he wants you to heal the sick. That's why he wants you to raise the dead. He could do it all himself, but he's like, this is so flipping fun. I want my kids to experience it too. All right? He's like the big goofy dad who just loves mucking around and having fun and doing some really cool stuff while he's at it. So it all began in the beginning. We have this creation story, and we see the Father, we get invited into the story in Genesis 1, where we see the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this triune being as one, looking into the darkness. And he speaks and creates matter. And as he looks into the darkness, he realizes, I want to transform that darkness into light. And in Genesis 1:3, he says, let there be light. A literal translation of that would be, illuminate, be. And in that declaration, he actually injects himself, because how many know God is light? He is light. And so in that declaration of let there be light, he was injecting himself into the midst of the darkness, into the midst of the darkness, knowing that as he placed himself in the center of this darkness, it would transform it into radiant light. And in that phenomenal creation story, we see the nature of our Father established in the beginning, where he sees darkness and he doesn't stand at a distance and point the finger. He actually injects himself into the center of it. He buries himself in the midst of the darkness and transforms it from the inside out. And he says, light be. And we see this phenomenal heart of our Father, where he's almost attracted to darkness because he can transform it to light. He's like a magnet to it. And then he comes, and we skip forward a few thousand years. And we see, I've seen in Scripture so far, there's probably more, but from what I can see, there's these three main declarations of let there be light. The first one, Genesis 1:3, we just talked about. The second one, we come forward to the story of Jesus. And the Father looks at planet Earth again. He looks at planet Earth and he sees darkness. He sees great darkness covering the earth. He sees his people who he's made in his image and his likeness beginning to believe the lies that the enemy spun about them. He sees them hurting one another, cheating one another, killing one another. He sees all this deception going on. He sees the influence of the enemy right around the world going on. He sees darkness. And what doesn't he do? He doesn't stand at a distance and point his finger and go, ugh, they've done what I asked them not to. No, instead he looks with great compassion. He says again, let there be light. And in that declaration, he sends his Son as the manifestation of himself. He sends Jesus into the darkness, buries himself again. Remember, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, I am the light of the world. Amen? This is Jesus. So when the Father sent Jesus, in essence, he was echoing that cry from the beginning, let there be light. And he buries himself in the center, in the midst of humanity again. He sends himself into the very center of the problem. humanity itself. He takes on flesh and blood into the center, into the midst of the darkness. He comes, the light of the world, and transforms it from the inside out. He lives a life, shows us what it's like to shine, shows us what it's like to be light. And then we see this phenomenal reality take place where Jesus takes this light that he is and he echoes that cry of his Father again. And he says, hey, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And in Matthew 5:14, he points the finger at us and he says, you are the light of the world. So let your light shine before all men. In that moment, he was saying the same thing that was said in Genesis 1:3, the same thing that was said at the beginning of the Gospels, and the same thing that's said at the beginning of the restoration of humanity, where he points the finger at us and says, hey, let there be light. And in that declaration, he buries himself in the midst of us. We see the manifestation of that take place when the Holy Spirit comes and makes his home in us and transforms us from the inside out, doesn't he? Transforms us into light. Phenomenal reality. This is the nature of our Father. He doesn't run from darkness. He runs into it. Headlong into it. I feel like this conviction in me where the church for so long has been so scared of sin. We've had a sin phobia that we've tried to cleanse ourselves from the world and keep the world at arm's length. And in doing so, we've lost our influence into the world. And we wonder why the world makes dumb decisions. All the ones who are the light of the world are putting their light under a bush. I've got to keep it safe. Jesus didn't have that sin phobia, did he? I mean, who did he hang out with? Prostitutes? Tax collectors? Sinners? Do you realize some of those sinners would have been sinning while he was hanging out with them? They carried on sinning. They didn't instantly just, boom, perfect, saint. No, they carried on sinning. They were themselves. And he still hung out with them. He didn't have a sin phobia. He wasn't worried about getting contaminated because he knows that the love of God, the light of God, is the virus that the world needs to be afraid of. Not the other way around. His goodness is so contagious. So we have this awesome reality where we are now commissioned to be the light of the world. What does that look like? See, I long to see a church. I long to see a company of people who are so operating in the likeness of their Father where they are willing to bury themselves into the middle of the problem. They're willing to throw themselves into the center of the darkness and transform it into light. For too long, the church has pointed the finger at the outside of the storm and tried to speak peace to it from a distance. But we don't see Jesus doing that, do we? How did he calm the storms? Well, for one, he walked on water right into the middle of that thing, and once he was in the center of the storm, he spoke peace to it. Another one, he fell asleep on a boat and woke up and found himself in the middle of it. How many of us have done that? We've just been sleeping through life and next minute, whoa, where the heck did this storm come from? I've got to get out of this thing. Maybe he's put you there to calm it. Because how many know when Jesus calmed that storm, there were 12 other people on that boat who benefited from it. The storms you find yourself in, maybe he's got you there for a reason. Maybe he wants that storm to become peace. Maybe he wants that darkness to become light. Why? Because when you bring light to darkness, other people can suddenly see. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And of his government, there shall be no end. Of his peace, there shall be no end. That means we are literally in the season of the expansion of his kingdom, right here, right now. I don't care how you're going to think this ends up. The reality is we have no excuse because of his government and peace, there will be no end. The increase of his kingdom will continue on forever and ever and ever, and nothing will stop it. Whether you choose to participate in that awesomeness is your choice. But that's what's going on. I mean, I can tell you story after story after story of the most freaky kind of things that God is doing all over planet Earth. It is so much fun. It is so much flipping fun. It's just weirdly fun. Some of the testimonies, I'm like, I don't even know how I feel about that. People walking on air. People, like, it was cool, Jesus walked on water, now people walking on air. Seriously, people have done that. I mean, you imagine, this is in the Old Testament. They're hanging around a mountain that God's speaking from a cloud, and he invites the elders of Israel to come up and have a feed with him. So all Israel sits back and watches 70 elders walk up a sapphire footpath into a cloud to sit down and eat with God. That's the Old Testament, an inferior covenant relationship with God. That's supposed to be our floor, not our ceiling. Hey, that is weird. I reckon they would have had KFC. Yeah. Look at Wings. Wouldn't have been pork, I don't think. But some people ask me, why do you think they weren't allowed to eat pork back then? I said, well, that's because he wanted to save bacon for the new covenant. He had to save something to one up that covenant. Anyway, we, as I shared about this, the book we got over there, our son Elijah, he's now 8. I wrote this book, took me about 5 years to write. I started it when he was about 3 and wrote it at the special needs school that he was going to at the time. I wasn't able to leave the school. I had to spend a long amount of time each day there. So I decided I would start journaling. And I wasn't intending to write a book, but that's what it slowly turned into. And because of our situation with our son, he goes to Tauranga Special School at the moment, and we've sort of been forced into this situation where we've found ourselves in the midst of the storm. And for a long time, we tried to be getting out of it. A long time, we're trying to get out of it. I mean, don't get me wrong. We still, every night, I declare healing over my son because it's God's heart for him to live in the fullness of healing. I'll never deny that. At the same time, I realized I'm going to stop trying to run from this. I'm going to stop trying to get out of it. I realized I was using healing as a bit of an escape mentality. I need to get him healed so I can get out of this mess. And I thought, nah, while we're here, I'm going to take the toll. While we're here, I'm going to make the enemy pay. I'm going to make the enemy pay for what he's done to my son. But not only that, I'm going to make him pay for what he's done to these kids. We're in this school surrounded by special needs kids, like some of the most overwhelming situations. You walk into that school and it's a freaky place at times. It is just seriously overwhelming, the situations that are going on in so many of these kids' lives and what they have to live with every single day. And so we decided, my son, in his class, they had a music therapist and she ended up leaving. And they were like, oh, we've got no music in our class anymore. And my wife and I are like, oh, we do some music. We could help out there. And they're like, oh, really? Like, yeah, sure. What do you guys do? And they said, well, I don't know. The therapist just kind of came in and did her thing with it. And we said, well, we're not music therapists, but how about we write some songs and bring those in, sing them with the kids? They're like, yeah, sure. So, you know, most of these kids are in wheelchairs. Some of them are completely vegetable type state. A couple of them are mobile, walking around, but they're non-verbal. A few of them can't hear, including my son. And so anyway, it's not the easiest audience to play to. And like, kids are ruthless enough as it is. And then these guys are a whole new level. And so we thought, oh, we'll write some songs. So we thought, initially we sat down and started just writing any old kids song. And then we thought, hang on a minute, we've got an opportunity here. We've got an opportunity to walk into the center of the storm. Let's write a prophetic song. So we got the teachers to send us through the names of all these kids. And we wrote a verse over every single kid around their name. And we prophesied over them with the meaning of their name in there. And so we just prayed and wrote a verse about these kids. It didn't take us long. We took the song in, we sat down and we played this thing. There's a little semicircle. Like, there's nothing glorious about this scene. It's really awkward. So we sing this song, and the chorus, the song is called You Are Special. You're special, 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 just the way you are, And so we just sing this song, and then every verse is over a different kid. And so we turn to that kid and we sing prophetically over them. And we sing over this one, and we sing over this one. And the teachers are sitting there, totally silent. No one's making any noise. It was really awkward. One of them's filming. And by the end of it, we're thinking, oh, we're not going to be allowed back. This is weird. As soon as we finished, this little girl, she was sitting on my left, and her name was Chloe. And she doesn't sit still, and she won't respond to people very much at all. And she sat through the whole thing. We didn't know this was a big deal, but the teachers go, man, she sat through the whole thing. As soon as we finished, she sits up and she starts singing. You're special, 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 just the way. And as she's singing, she walks over to the mirror. She stares at herself in the mirror. She says, you are special, 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 just the way you are. This little girl who doesn't verbally respond, she starts declaring this declaration of heaven over herself. We're going, oh, Father, this girl who the enemy has tried to tell you are worthless, you're nothing, she is now a champion of God saying, I am special, I am valuable. And she sang this song over herself. The teachers took this video, and we didn't know about this until a few days later, and they came to us and said, we showed it to the principal and vice principal. And the vice principal started crying. She's crying. And she goes, how do they know so much about these kids? And they said, I don't know. They show up and drop their kid off each morning and then they leave. We don't know how they know so much about these kids. And so they invite us. They said, can you do this again? And we're like, yeah, we'll come in every week. So we started going in every week into the school. Before long, they said, hey, we've got our school production coming on. We get all the families, because this is a base school. This is a base school. And they've got satellite schools in every school in Tauranga. So they said, we're bringing all the families, hundreds of families together in the school hall across the road. We don't have a building big enough, so we have to go to Tauranga Intermediate, use their school hall. So we'll be in there, and each class has to do a presentation. Can you come and do the special song with our class? And I'm like, this is going to be awkward, man, but I'll do anything for these kids. Let's do it. And so we show up, and the room is packed. And it's madness, like total madness. You got kids running around. You got kids rolling around. You got kids wheeling around. You got madness going on. And so, like, I wish I could paint the scene better for you guys, but, you know, it's crazy. And so anyway, we're waiting around. These kids do their productions on different classes come through, and we're just there going, yeah, that's awesome. You guys are amazing. Oh, so amazing. And then they go, yeah, time for Elijah's class to come up. So we went on up, and we start singing the song. The whole room goes quiet because suddenly it gets quite intimate, you know. And we just sing. I just thought, oh, I'm just going to focus on these kids. I'm just going to celebrate these kids. And as we sing through the verse with each one, we've got Eli, we've got Elijah, we've got Flynn, we've got Keaton, Chloe, Peyton, these different ones, Patrick. And as we sing over each kid their verse, the teachers bring the kid forward and they do a little dance with them, and then they bring them back, you know. And before long, the whole hall is singing, you're special, special, special. Just the way you are. And afterwards, parents came up to us. These non-believers came up to us. And they, in tears, just going, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I didn't realize they were parents of a kid in the class. And then a little while later, some grandparents who had come along, tears in their eyes came up. They just wanted to give us something. So they got our address. They sent us chocolate. They sent us. They just didn't know what to do. They're like, we just got to do something. There's just something in the room. There's so much love in the room. We just got to respond to it somehow. So this is going on, and we have seen so much transformation going on in that school. They asked us, can you record that song? We're like, yeah, yeah, we can. It's what we do. We're producers. We record people as part of our job. So we went home, we recorded the song, we gave it to them, they're like, awesome. And we find out now that they've done this for 6-7 months now. They play that song every single morning over these kids. They do our national anthem, and then they do the special song over these kids. And so that's how they start their day. And so we're continuing our partnership with the school, and we get to go in there. They want us now to go into every single class. So we want to try and free up a whole day where we can go do music with these kids and go from class to class and just play with them, hang out with them, and prophesy over them. And so I tell that story because I'm serious about this. We wake up in the boat of life and we find ourselves in the middle of storms. And we wonder why God's not getting us out of it. And he's saying, because I need to be in it. And I'm in you. I need you here. I need you in this storm. Because you're going to transform it into peace. I soon realized those kids, some of those kids have no contact whatsoever to someone who is living in relationship with the Father, except through us. Except through us. If we chose to run away from that, who are we leaving in the middle of that storm? Who are we leaving sitting in that darkness, unable to see? We recently heard one of the teachers was moving house. See, I love the supernatural. I love the stirring of the supernatural that's going on. We take that with us wherever we go. That's just a normal part of your nature. You are a healer because your Father is. You are a deliverer because your Father is. You carry life that raises the dead because your Father does. So that's what we do. But in the meantime, we love doing a whole lot of very practical, loving things as well. Because sometimes those speak even louder. So one of the teachers is moving house. And she's a solo mum. And her daughter, at Christmas, is about to become a solo mum as well. And they live in this house. And not only that, she's got like this fascination with like Halloween and goth kind of stuff, you know. So she's got like shelves in her lounge, which are a coffin decked out with shelves, and it's just weird, like a weird little fascination. We just laugh about it, and because she knows who we are, she knows what we stand for, and she knows the preconceived idea that the church generally has towards that kind of thing, and she knows she's trying to hide that part of her life from us, you know. So we come into her home, we see all this stuff, and we go, oh, awesome. This is funny. What a classic. Why you got this? Oh, it's just something that, you know, she's a little bit embarrassed of it. We're like, oh, that's cool. Good on you. Awesome. Hey, I hear you're moving. I hear you're moving house. She's like, yeah. I said, what date are you moving? And she told me the date, and I said, okay, cool, leave it with me. And it was just going to be her and her friend doing it, and I thought, that's just ridiculous. There's no way that's happening. She can't even drive either. She doesn't drive. So like, I don't know how you guys are going to do this. You've got more faith than I do. And so I organised a team. I texted around a few friends in Tauranga and said, hey, is there anyone from you guys' church who wants to come and help us? We're going to move this lady from Elijah's school. And so we took a team around there on the day. She was blown away. She's like, how much do I have to pay these guys? This is just crazy. I can't believe you're here doing this. She couldn't help. She couldn't make sense of the level of generosity. So I organized a moving team and I organized a cleaning team. So we packed up all her stuff and then we got some people to come in behind us in the rooms and just clean right through the house. And she's standing there going, this is unreal. I heard her talking to a friend in the room next to us. She's like, I haven't felt this good since my grandkids were born. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this is phenomenal. We're just moving your house. So we took all her stuff, we moved it to this other place, we set it all up, we cleaned her old house. She's just buzzing out. She just can't figure out what's going on. Her car wouldn't start because she hardly ever drives it, so I said, leave it with me. We took it to the garage, we got it all fixed up, took it around there a week or so later, and it's all running again, and she's like, guys, you've got to give me the bill. How much is it? And we said, my wife ended up having to sit her down because she wouldn't leave us alone about it. She's like, I've got to pay you something for all of this. We said, Cheryl, her name's Cheryl, she's one of our son's teachers. We said, people do this kind of stuff for us all the time. And we love doing it for other people all the time. This is so much. And she said, well, I can never do this for you. I said, I don't care. You love our son. This is our privilege to do this for you. And she just like, does not make sense to her one bit. This, the love of God does not make sense to the world, does it? There's no strings attached. There's no condition. So, as I say, I share these stories because, guys, your storms have a purpose. Your storms are for the sake of transformation. You are radiant lightning, shining bright light, and you are called to transform the world around you into that likeness, just as your father did. Not by pointing from the outside of the storm, but by walking on into the midst of it with full peace and full confidence and saying, light be. Transform it. Amen? Awesome. Well, hey, look, if there's any need in this place, if you ever need a healing, if you've got something stirring in your heart, I know Scott had a real sense that there's a lot of freedom to come to people today. So if you've got a need in that area, if you have any need of prayer, I just want you to come on down the front. We're going to close this up, and I believe the cafe is going to be opened up. Is that right, Scotty? And you're free to go if you need to go. But look, let me pray for you as a group first. I just want to bless you. And like I say, I'm going to hang around. If you want prayer, come on up. It's been a pleasure to meet Pastor Nathan and Joe. I can tell I'll get very intoxicated by hanging out with you and your family, which is a good thing. And you guys carry a real anointing from the Lord. And so these guys are here, Scott and Gibran are around, and the ministry team. But yeah, if you've got a need, you need to come and approach us about that, all right? We're not going to call you out on it. So Father, Lord, I just bless this family. I bless this house. I bless the people who are here. In your name, Father, I just bless them. And Lord, I just call an awakening to come. I call an awakening in our spirits, an awakening in our awareness to come right now, an awakening in our dream life, Lord, that we would be fully aware of our identity in you and the way that we look, Father, in you, the way that you have made us, the way that you have transformed us. Father, I just pray that we would be fully aware of our transformation in you, of our radiant, lightning white shining in you. God, I pray that we would be more aware of that than the storm raging around us at every given moment of every day. Father, that we would begin to see the storms of life, the darkness around us, the crazy mountains that need to be moved. We would begin to see those as exciting, adventurous opportunities, Father. We would see those as situations not to run from, but to run into. And God, you would give us keys. I release keys right now on people. Keys and blueprints for the transformation of their sphere of influence, Father. Let it be. For their workplace, that they'll begin to transform that place. For their school, that they'll begin to transform that place. For their home and their street, that they'll begin to see transformation come to their home and to their neighbors. Let it be. Thank you, Father. I just pray a grace on these people that you would give them an understanding. They are positioned so strategically in their home, in their life, in their work, that every connection they share is a divine one. Let it be. Bless your name, Father.